All right, welcome back to another edition of Hey Fightin' Podcast, presented by Marathon Petroleum. Get the most out of your drive. Harrison Valentine riding solo today. Thought we'd do something a little bit different instead of Hester and I rambling for a half hour. Thought we'd bring in a national guy who does some coverage on the Heisman race. Really excited to bring on one guy who I've noticed as a vocal champion and proponent of Jaden Daniels, and that is J.D. Pakel of On3, who joins us now. J.D., thank you for letting us steal a few minutes during this busy time of year.
No, absolutely, man. Happy to do it. And it's an exciting time for y'all in Baton Rouge, I'm sure. I feel like the campaign for Jaden Daniels to hoist the bronze statue is well underway. So I'm whatever I can do to help champion that effort, I'm happy to do, obviously. And no, it's an exciting time, I'm sure, for y'all as well.
Yeah, hard to believe it's already championship season, which in turn also means it's award season as well. And LSU has a handful of candidates up for awards so far. Obviously, Daniels for the Heisman. Then you look at Malik Nabers for the Biletnikoff, Mike Denbrock for the Broyles, the offensive line up for the Joe Moore Award. But I want to focus on Daniels right now because this Heisman race feels as closely contested as any that I can remember. And usually around this time of year, I feel like we have a pretty good grasp as to whose name is going to hear their name called in New York. But this year we don't. As of November 30th, 2023, I believe is today's date, when you look at LSU's quarterback, leader of the most prolific offense in college football all year long, leader of what feels like almost all statistical categories, what would be J.D. Pakel's case for Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, man, I think my case is the way that we thought about this award previously. I don't think it's the wrong way to go about it, but I think we probably are going down a path we never meant to, which is the whole thought around best player on the best team. Like, I'm okay with that logic, but I think that thought started out as, okay, well, if this is the best player, he must be the reason why this team is the best. And we've seen now across the last couple of years with this college football playoff and even the BCS for the, you know, in the earlier part of this decade, it's not always that case. And so if we really want to give it to the best player, I think you go back to what we thought about with, okay, best player, best team. What is that actually correlated to? It's trying to measure impact. And you talk about impact. I don't know if there's a guy that's had a more sizable impact and had a better season than Jaden Daniels. And so when you look at it that way, I think it's pretty cut and dry. Like, yes, the stats tell the story to a degree, but also just what he means for LSU. And if you just turn on a game and watch, it's pretty clear, like, yeah, number five is the best player on any field that he steps on.
Yeah, that I was going to bring that up later. But the biggest argument, like you made, surrounding the Heisman Trophy is, does the award go to the best player on the best team or the best player, period? And I think if you factor in all of LSU's losses as a negative, I think you also have to factor in the fact that Jaden still balled out in all of the Tiger defeats. He was not even close to the reason why they came out on the short end. And a stat from our guy Cody over here in our department that I thought was really interesting is 17 players with three or more losses have won the Heisman Trophy. So this is not unprecedented territory. Most recently, Caleb Williams, Lamar Jackson, and RG3, and Tim Tebow. Tebow and Jackson finished with four losses. So this is not unprecedented territory, obviously.
No, not at all. And when it's something like that, it's like, okay, we're not necessarily like breaking new ground here. If Jaden Daniels were to get the Heisman Trophy, like, it wouldn't be some historic event if you gave it to him. And also, like you said, statistically, if we want to play that numbers game, he had the numbers that Caleb Williams did going into that game against A&M. So like after only playing 11 games, he had the Heisman Trophy winner's stats from a season ago. So, I mean, I think the whole extra data point, I see the logic behind it. I see the merit. And I'm not saying that Bo Nix wouldn't be, you know, well-deserving of the Heisman Trophy if he were to get it. But again, I just think if we're not looking at Jaden Daniels and his entire body of work and what he means to LSU as a whole, like, I think we're looking at it the wrong way. And I would go so far as to say, if he doesn't win it, and to be honest, like, just full transparency, I sort of lean towards if Bo Nix handles business against Washington, he may very well win the award. I would not be surprised if this is one of those moments in history where we come back to this, you know, setting, we come back to this moment and we say, okay, maybe this is where we start to reevaluate, you know, how we vote on the Heisman Trophy. Because it seems like everybody has an issue with how it gets voted on, who gets to vote, you know, those specific individuals and their proximity to the college football world. Like, I think most people that actually watch college football and care about college football, I would have to believe of that population, they would vote for Jaden Daniels. So this might be that moment where we say, all right, let's kind of recalibrate a little bit here, not totally throw away the old system, but maybe kind of tinker with a little bit and find a way to get the right people the right votes.
Yeah, I think it's funny. For the first time in a long time, I think LSU fans are going to be locked in to the Pac-12 championship game this weekend, with an eye, obviously, on Bo Nix. I kind of want to piggyback off what you just talked about. Can you kind of walk our listeners through scenarios that Tiger fans should be pulling for? Is winning the game enough for Bo Nix? Does he have to ball out and make a statement? What do you feel would move the needle either way?
That's a great question. I think the situation my mind goes to most immediately is even if Oregon wins, if Bo Nix just looks pedestrian, like let's say he throws for two touchdowns, one interception, best case for LSU fans, the entire game is low scoring, so we get that under to hit somewhere in Vegas, both in the casinos and on the field. I think that would be the ideal situation. Like if the more ugly you can have this game look and the less decisive either side of that looks, whether it's Michael Penix Jr. who's still in the hunt or Bo Nix, I think that'd probably be the way that you would want to look at it. Now, I would say this too: if Oregon throttles Washington and Bo Nix has a stat line like we just talked about, it might be tough for those that are voting to see through the box score and actually look at what happened in the game when it comes to the individual awards, because I think people will just kind of trust the story that's been true the entire year, which is Bo Nix is playing really good football. Oregon's been really great outside of one game, and they're the Pac-12 champs. So I think that would probably be a dangerous trail to walk. Anything you can do to make voters look a little bit more closely at the actual game that happened, and obviously the big thing is Bo Nix having a pedestrian stat line, that would at least open the door in my mind to him winning the Heisman.
Yeah, going back to Jaden, we've all seen the stats, and they are historic. Leader in total yards, total touchdowns, passing touchdowns, passer rating. The list goes on. Brian Kelly has talked a lot about his preparation being the difference this season, and how Jaden really took it upon himself to go from that good to elite status with, 5 a.m. film sessions, going to California to train, utilizing the virtual reality technology to enhance his feel for the game. It's very similar, in my opinion, to Burrow in the way where Joe had a good 2018 and a historic 2019. For Jaden, a good 2022 and a historic 2023. What areas jump out to you when you watch Jaden? Obviously, the ability to add a vertical passing game along with his lethal ability to extend plays with his legs made him the ultimate nightmare for defenses this season. How fun was it to watch his development from a quarterback who, a year ago, I remember coming back from the Tennessee game, and the narrative was, can LSU move the ball downfield? And that has changed so much, obviously. How fun has it been to watch his development, going from, that guy who's struggled to kind of push the ball downfield a little bit to becoming one of the biggest deep threats in all of the game?
I mean, a historic season itself, obviously. I think what you just said is on the money. Like the leap itself he made from last season to this season, I think that's historic, in its own right. And we were talking so much, just like you said, hey, can he take the next step? We know he's a really good athlete. He's dynamic when he tucks it and runs. But we've gone from this point of, quarterbacks taking the next step from year one to year two in a system. Like Jaden Daniels took like three or four steps in terms of what he was asked to do in that offense. And I mean, we actually sat down with him at SEC Media Days and we asked him, like, hey, you hear all the talk. Brian Kelly's been pretty open about it too. There's a clamoring for more of a vertical presence downfield. And we asked him, what do you have to do there? And he's like, I just gotta trust my guys. And so I think trusting his guys and trusting this scheme as a whole probably comes with just what you said, more preparation, dedicating himself to the process. Because I think even just watching him play football, he's smooth to begin with. Like he was smooth last year, but there's a different sense of feeling like he's really in control of the entire game when he's back there. Like he never looks overwhelmed. He never even looks like he's rushed or even playing full speed. But next thing you know, he's either dealing just a dart downfield or he's kind of just taken 15 yards and four strides and gotten a first down and gotten out of bounds. So the control factor for me, I think, has been the funnest part to watch with the way he's elevated his game from last year to this year. And again, I mean, standing on the table here saying, dude deserves the Heisman Trophy. I don't think there's, too much questioning with most people that have actually watched LSU.
He's got that California cool and that Louisiana toughness. You
There
talked
we go.
about having that trust, and it's easy to have trust when you have guys like Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Kyron Lacy down there to throw it down to. The Biletnikoff Award is an intriguing battle within itself, similar to kind of the Heisman this year in that it's down to neck and neck between two players, those being Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison. Nabers has the statistical edge over Harrison, but I think Harrison doesn't have, a Heisman contender throwing him the ball as well. 86 receptions, 1,546 yards, 17.9 yards per catch, 580 yards after the catch, and 14 touchdowns. What has impressed you about Nabers and his development as well? He took his game to a whole new level in his junior season. What has impressed you about LSU's wide receiver one in his junior season?
I mean, just how consistently he's won the one-on-one battle. Like last year, I thought he was really solid, and maybe he was as effective as he was last season. And then there wasn't that same trust from Jaden Daniels. But I mean, I think like you said, to be able to have that trust in your wide receivers, you got to have somebody that's, you know, proven trustworthy on the perimeter. And like time and time and again, that chemistry between Daniels and Nabers has just been, I mean, a lethal combination really since, you know, the first week of the season we saw them play Florida State, and it wasn't the result that LSU fans wanted to see. But I think even in that game and then going on throughout that first month of the season, you kind of had this feeling of like, okay, looks like there's a different gear here offensively. And Malik Nabers being able to just, like I said, consistently win one-on-one no matter who's guarding him and make them guard the entire width of the field has been a game changer in every sense. And I mean, what you said a second ago shouldn't be discredited with the number of weapons they have, because I think Malik Nabers is able to get the coverage he gets because of what Brian Thomas is doing week in and week out, because of what Mason Taylor is doing over the middle of the field. Like the number of weapons LSU has on top of that run game, it just is exactly what we said at the beginning of the season. You have to really just pick your poison with this team. And if you want to double Thomas, the Nabers gets open. And if you want to double Nabers, then Thomas gets open. And so it's been a really complimentary system in that way for sure. And Malik Nabers has obviously statistically benefited a huge amount.
Go see the guys at Subaru of Baton Rouge for your new or pre-owned vehicle. They have a large selection of new, certified, and pre-owned vehicles to fit any budget. The Subaru of Baton Rouge family will treat you right and make your purchase experience an easy one. Visit Subaru online at SubaruBR.com. Complimentary maintenance included. A couple more before we get you out of here. We're on with J.D. Pickell of On3. LSU has the chance to secure back-to-back 10-win seasons in Brian Kelly's first 2 years in Baton Rouge. These circumstances are well-documented in how he inherited 39 scholarship players on the roster after the bowl game when he got here, beating Alabama, going to the SEC championship in year one. Where do you stand on LSU in the program and, you know, the progress that they've made under Coach Kelly in the first 2 years and where they could go moving forward?
I mean, I think even when they hired Brian Kelly, there was this feeling of, okay, he brings the things you need to succeed here, because talent was never going to be an issue. It was never going to be a thing of, can we recruit the right guys? There's going to be dudes in Louisiana and the surrounding southeastern region that I want to come play at LSU and be successful. And so with Brian Kelly, even with the success of last year, my thought was, okay, this whole thing is fixed. Like, you have the right guy that's putting the right things in place. It's sort of a matter of time as to, you know, reaching your ultimate goals of winning national titles and playing in New Year's Six bowl games and all things like that. And so even going into this season, it wasn't a thing where you hired Brian Kelly for year two. It wasn't a thing where you hired him just to make the SEC title last year. Like, I think when you look at the long-term play with a guy like Brian Kelly, it's the sustained success over long periods of time. Not going to be this variance of, well, hey, it's a 7-win season this year, it's a 10-win season the next, and we're kind of fluctuating between that, you know, floor and ceiling. I think it's going to be pretty consistently LSU living at a floor that's around 9 wins. And especially when they continue to develop and recruit the talent they have, they're going to be in position to win and win very, very big, like we saw them do already in year one. So when it comes to the future, I mean, I think the stamina is really the word that I would use to describe what they have in house right now with him running the show and his proven process that's won everywhere he's been.
Mentioned the jump that Joe Burrow took in 2018 and 2019 and how Jaden is similar. There's a lot of similarities to the offense in 2019 and the awards that, you know, Daniels is up for every award. The coaching staff and the offensive side is up for a lot of awards. They have the playmakers at receiver. They have the numbers, statistical numbers. It also felt like this offense could roll out of bed and score 45 no matter who they were playing. For better or worse, obviously, because of the struggles on defense. As someone who's just so locked into LSU each and every Saturday, personally, where from a national perspective did this, you know, do you view this LSU offense and the explosiveness that it showed each and every Saturday?
I think you have to put it right there at the top. And there's something to be said, too, for the other offenses that they'd be up against. I mean, you look at Oregon and you look at, I mean, gosh, I'm struggling to even think of other teams here that are comparable. Washington, obviously, a team that did tremendous things, USC. But I mean, and this is someone obvious. Like, I have a tremendous amount of like West Coast in my background. Like, I grew up in Southern California. I went to high school in Southern California. Have a lot of friends that went and played at Pac-12 schools. To do what they're doing in the SEC should not be just overlooked. And I don't say that to like provide any like extra LSU bias for doing this kind of podcast and we're doing this platform. Like, genuinely, to do it against the defense they're doing against, to do what they did against Alabama when he was healthy, to do what they did against Missouri. I mean, they're just consistently every single week, just like you said, with that team under Joe Burrow, it was all right. Well, we're going to score 40 plus. So whatever y'all are bringing to the table, I hope you can match us because we're about to, put on a track meet right now. I think they're the best offense in the country, and I think Jaden Daniels deserves the Heisman, and Malik Nabers probably deserves a very fair shake at the Biletnikoff.
Yeah, on that note, we actually just posted a tweet on our official account. Jaden Daniels versus top 50 defenses. He played six games against top 50 defense, passing for 100 or 1,806 yards and 16 touchdowns, rushing for 540 yards and three touchdowns. And then Bo Nix played two, passing for 615 yards and four touchdowns. So obviously, our admin's getting a little spicy and
There you
doing
go.
a little more campaigning for our guy. JD. I'm sure a lot of them already do, but where can our fans and our listeners find you and consume your content?
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. Well, any way you want it, we got it for you. Whether you want to watch video, we're on YouTube on the On3 YouTube channel. We're live 3 times a week, but got content for you every day. Live show 11 a.m. Eastern, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then if you want to just consume it via podcast, you type in The Hard Count with JD Pakel. And we'll pop right up for you there. So any way you want it, we got it for you. But brother, I appreciate you having me on. I'll do a phenomenal job, and I'm excited to see how this Heisman race finishes out with a big data point here on Friday night.
Awesome. That's JD Pakel of On3 Sports. It's championship season. It's award season. It's a busy time of year in college football. So thanks to JD, and thank you for listening to the latest episode of Hate Fighting Podcast.
Like nights of old, we fight to hold the glory of the purple and gold. Come on, you Tigers. I said, fight!